Come on, Leslie.
Henshaw.
Yes.
Gonzalez.
Here.
Nemitz.
Here.
Leonard. Walters.
Yes.
Sykes.
Yes.
Toews.
Yes. Is there any conflict of interest that anyone needs to report with respect to tonight's agenda? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I also move to approve the agenda of June 4, 2019, as is.
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner Nemitz, with support by Commissioner Walters, to approve the agenda for tonight's meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The meeting agenda is approved. We next need to approve the minutes of our regular meeting of May 7th of 2019. Are there any revisions or corrections that we need to make to the minutes?
I have one. Carol Cusell, let me just find, my packet was kind of messed up, but Carol, you know, okay, I'm sorry, page one. Item six, bullet, Carol spells her name K-U-E-S-E-L.
Okay.
That's it.
Any other revisions or corrections? Okay, with that, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes as corrected.
So moved.
Support.
Been moved by Commissioner Gonzalez, with support by Commissioner Sykes, to approve the minutes of our regular meeting of May 7th, 2018 as corrected. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Those minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is any public comment. If anyone would like to make comment with respect to anything that is not on tonight's agenda.
Thank you.
Mr. Mansfield.
Doug Mansfield, Mansfield Land Use Consultants, 830 Cottage View Drive, Suite 201, Traverse City, Michigan. I'm here a lot with developments, and we talk a lot about saving trees and saving the landscape. And East Bay has huge character differences in its sensitive areas and its, I'll say, more user-friendly areas, upland areas. And I appreciate that, and I think we all do. And we take that into our conservative attitude towards development and especially stormwater. Rick and Leslie and I entertained a meeting with the Arbutus Ridge Project and your township engineers to try to say, look at the soils out here. We show these soils will infiltrate, you know, 20 to 40 inches per hour. This is nothing but beach sand. But yet in that area, under that criteria, we're not allowed to take advantage of that infiltration like you may be in some other areas. In East Bay Township, and your township engineers are saying, hey, we're just doing what the township ordinance allows for when it comes to stormwater. And your stormwater ordinance was provided by the previous drain commissioner. A drain commissioner, I will say, that took that job from a prestigious, well-paying level down to the dregs, okay, and ultimately was removed. I'm asking you to direct staff or the town board to hire your township engineers to look at the stormwater ordinance to take advantage of when you have good soils and still protect the areas that are sensitive and you have higher groundwater levels. But, and I'm also asking you, if you get a chance, go up to Arbutus Ridge and see the pits that we've created for stormwater that'll never get there. It's going to run in the ditches, and it's because I've lived in that same area for 30 years, I will tell you, you're never going to see a lick of water in these voids. And we've been required to hold back-to-back 200-year storms, an event that has never happened in the hit since they've been taking recorded history of our weather. It's time to think differently, and your engineers are open to it, but they are not going to change anything unless you direct them to. And we're not saying get rid of it. What we're saying is give us the chance to look at these sites independently. Right now, you treat that kind of site just same as you would any clay-ridden high groundwater table site. We have the technology. to do this differently these days. And I'm saying for East Bay Township, the character of what you're here to protect, you should ask them to look at this. Because it's frankly an embarrassment in being in the engineering field to go out there and tell a developer, no, I'm sorry, you have to do that. And you tell a contractor and they're saying, this is just ridiculous, you know, what we're carving out in terms of, and it's not a cost thing. There's not a huge cost to digging a hole and planting it with grass. It's just a waste of the landscape. And it's a crying shame. And this community is so conscious of tree removal and stuff. If you saw how small, and I'm prepared, and I said this to your consultants and your staff, I will do this at no charge, come to you and show you how small things could have been if we only had simple rules that other townships in the same area have that are not following this old drain commissioner-led stormwater ordinance. So it's as easy for you just to, again, if you want to go out and see the pits and understand more, I'm happy to do that. But it's not that hard. You can look at your ordinance and see it's a one-size-fits-all kind of thing, and it is extremely conservative. And it was dragged out of Metro Detroit area, which has harder soils, and it doesn't infiltrate, and you've got more things happening. But up there, it is just a crying shame what we've had to do. And we met with them. We said, you know, we'll waylay some things if you could have this, and they just said, no, we're. I even looked at it as a business opportunity for your engineers. I said, go to them and say, we can do this better. And they said, no, we really look for direction from our clients rather than proposing things to them. And I'm just saying you can do things hundreds of times better. And these basins in that area with that sand shouldn't even be noticeable. In fact, we probably could have cured it by just having ditches and using the infiltration and the ditch lines, because we're not on steep areas and things like that. But it's just a tragedy what we had to do to that piece of land to meet the ordinance. So next time I'm here and we talk about losing trees and those kind of things, if we don't do something, you know, the finger's going to get started pointing back harder at the government, you know, doing this stuff. So I just wanted you to understand that, and hopefully you'll take the time to look at it and talk to staff. So thanks.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. I guess I just take that. And Rick, do you have any comment? And I know you may not be prepared to have comment, but if you have a comment, I'd...
No, but, you know, staff has agreed with them in the past that, you know, the ordinance needs to be a little bit more flexible. And if the Planning Commission feels it's an important issue, can certainly ask the board to look into it further. And certainly...
Well, I guess he also raises the point as to whether or not some of the surrounding townships have ordinances that are a little different than ours. Is that something that you could kind of see with those ordinances, how they handle this issue?
You mean do some research on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't done it previously, but I could, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, maybe, if you've got the time, and I know that time is kind of shrinking down a little bit for you, But if you could at least maybe just make a note of it, and either if you get a chance to do it or your successor could take a look at that for us.
Maybe. Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions anybody else has on that? Okay. Anyone else like to make public comment on any issue that's not on tonight's agenda? Okay. Seeing none, we'll go to reports, and first is Township Board Report. Mindy.
Our last meeting there, the crematorium was on the agenda. That passed. And then the Parks Commission put together a grant. It's called a PAR plan grant. And what that is looking for a new base layer at the parks. You know, it's a safety issue. PAR plan is our insurance company. They do grants every year to for safety issues around their different townships for which they insure. And so we are going after a grant for a couple of the parks. And I think it's not Jen's, it's Pine Grove Park. And then there was a very long meeting last month, and I will say 70% of that meeting was associated with short-term rentals. We have, as I think I told you last month, there's a group that is opposed to the short-term rentals, and they had sent a letter. They had an attorney send a letter to.
They're opposed to the ordinance of short, not short-term rentals. They're opposed to. They're opposed to the proposed.
They don't like the proposed ordinance.
They don't like the proposed ordinance.
Right. You said they were opposed to short-term rentals, and I just wanted to clarify that.
Yes, they're very opposed to short-term rental ordinance.
Right, okay.
They are not necessarily opposed to the things which are regulatory in basis, but they are very opposed to stuff that is policy. So the things that were in the letter from their attorney, we took a look at. If it was a fact-based issue, and some of these issues we already knew. You know, we'd already figured out that some of the things that were in our ordinance didn't work. And so we were looking to redo the ordinance anyway. A lot of the comments that were brought were of the policy issues and not necessarily the ordinance itself. It was the biggest complaint is the 7 days. So lots of discussion on 7 days and what is 7 days and when does the 7 days start and how do we, what's a Gregorian calendar and that kind of thing. So there are some changes that were requested of the proposed revised ordinance. And so that will be back on the agenda on June 10th, and we'd love to see everybody out with everybody else that's already coming to talk about short-term rentals. On a different,
there will be stadium,
and that's not big enough.
Well, it's nice that there's an issue that people are
passionate about.
Yeah.
But exciting in the township. You know, as I mentioned last month, I think, is that we've gone ALS. East Bay Ambulance is now ALS. East Bay Ambulance is now covering the entire township. So we do not have North Flight on the north side and East Bay on the south side. We are all East Bay now. So that's all I had.
Okay.
If there's any questions.
Any questions for Mindy? Okay. Thank you. Thanks. Appeals Board report, Ted.
No meeting.
It makes it a short report.
Short report.
Thank you. Any questions for Ted on that short report? No. Planner's report.
Don't have a whole lot to report. Mindy summarized the last board meeting pretty well. I figure Monday will be another long one, but we'll see. You did receive the monthly summary, and we're a little bit ahead of last year, and actually, we're probably quite a bit more ahead now because we had, five single-family home applications come in just today. So I think we're doing pretty good compared to last year, which was behind the year before. You also received a lovely letter from one of our planning commissioners in his daytime role when he's not a superhero. And then you also have also received this sketch plan. I'll also let you know that we have received our first application for a project within airport services, and that will probably, depending on getting some rough edges ironed out, be at your July meeting.
So, okay.
So we'll see how that goes. Other than that, I really don't have anything else at the moment.
Any questions for Rick? Okay, seeing none. There's no old business, so we'll go to new business. First item up on new business is a special land use 1-19, Peninsula Bay Resort Co-Owners Association. This is a time set for public hearing and action. This is a request for special land use approval to allow units within the Peninsula Bay Condominium Development to be occupied as a principal residence. As a resort condominium, the owners are not currently able to claim a principal residence exemption for property tax purposes. Peninsula Bay is currently classified as a resort condominium, which is a use permitted by right in the regional business district. Is someone here for the applicant?
Yes.
Could you come up and give us your name and your address?
My name is Wilbur Birch, 1941 U.S. Highway 31 North, D24, the address of the application. Traverse City, 49686.
Okay. Anything you could add to the request?
As many people will know, Peninsula Bay has had a sorbet background. As it started up, it was developed, and then the developer went bankrupt and then went into receivership, and then the receivership activities did something, and it's just been put back and back and back. And what's happened is a lot of the owners have gotten a little older, and rather than wanting to rent the property, a lot of us would like to live there permanently. And, you know, obviously this would be a benefit to be able to live there permanently, because we just don't rent. I can honestly tell you, I've owned it since 2006 and have never rented once. But there's other members in there that have, and I have no qualms with it. But we think it's about time we took the noose off of it and allowed us to do it, because one of the other things it's done is prevented us from mortgaging the property without having the ability to be there permanently. And obviously that really curtails marketing and curtails the ability for people to own it if they have to be cash all the time.
Okay. Okay. Any questions for Mr. Birch? Okay, no questions right now, so don't go too far. We may get back to you. But Rick, do you have anything you'd like to add to this?
Not other than what was already in the staff report. You know, we felt it was consistent with the master plan and the zoning, the special land use provisions, and the multiple family provisions. We have no concerns about it.
Okay. Okay. Well, at this time, we'll open up for public hearing. If there's any member of the public that would like to address this proposed special land use 1-19, we'd be happy to hear from you. If you could come up to the podium and give us your name and address. If there's anyone that would like to speak, either for, against, or in any other way about it.
We got another set of moments here.
Okay. Okay. And I presume you're just standing behind Mr. Birch and letting him do all the talking, and you don't and you you're not in disagreement with what he has to say.
No, we're in total agreement.
Okay. Okay. Anybody like to speak? And seeing no one, then we'll close the public hearing and take it back to the Planning Commission. Any questions or comments from the commissioners?
One.
Paul?
Mm-hmm. In the proposal, they had an item dealing with schools and discussing with the number of families with children expected. It says no change. If this is then created where you now have a residential ability, should that be changing with requirement for any potential use of facilities for, let's say, school transportation or things of that nature?
If you're asking me, I'll answer. If you know the property at all, it's a resort property. It's only two bedrooms, two baths.
Right.
There's not going to be children living there, only because of the fact, well, I shouldn't say there won't be, but it's going to be uncommon to have children participate in any of it in the place, because everybody that owns it is more of the senior persuasion than, you know, younger family. I know every one of the owners in their place. And there isn't one that's under the age of 50 right now. So, I mean, it doesn't draw that kind of a crowd in working with it.
For now.
Well, I don't see, take a look at where it is between the beaches and you got Tamarack. I just don't see that happening. You don't see that coming into play in any of that particular strip within your marketplace.
How many units are there in the
30.
Let me interject something here, Paul. I think that they might be a little bit out of the price range, and I'm not, you know, I hate to say this, you know, of the newly starting family. You know, if you've ever looked at the real estate there, it's low price.
You're saying it's not a starter home for young
people. It's not a starter home. Thank you.
Well, you got to remember, they were originally built by the developer to start at $850,000 up. So, yeah, they're not a starter position.
I'm familiar with the facility.
Okay.
And I also know that at the time it was first opened, only one person ever bought there. That was on the lower level by the pool. I forget what his name was.
That was the developer. Was Pioneer Construction. And the first unit after him was Rusty up on the fifth floor.
Well, anyway, my point was there were kids there.
They were not living there. They lived in Grand Rapids.
Well, at the time, no. But I'm just saying, it's just, and I'm not arguing here. I'm just saying that that.
But I thought you were talking about people that would use the schools. And there are kids that do visit, but they're not here to go to school.
And then the other thing is under Exhibit A, on the Fourth Amendment to the condominium bylaws, which you're looking to change, it has here, and I'll quote you, occupancy of units as a principal residence is allowed. That's what you're looking to do. Then it says, no unit or of apertures common elements shall be used for business purposes, rooming houses, daycare facilities, or other commercial use. What do you mean by used for business purposes?
The action is there's nobody's going to run a business out of the condominiums.
Don't they rent them now?
They do rent them, but you have to remember that the Michigan state law is going in that direction. However, if you take a look at our other proposal, we talk about transient people being allowed within our place. So we, and that, I believe, will trump the statement that you're just talking about.
I think he's talking about a business like if somebody was an accountant working out of their home.
Yeah, no, we don't allow. I mean,
okay, or somebody did tax advice or something like mm-hmm. that, you know, or an internet based business. I think is what he's. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Those businesses, yeah, but I mean, does this now trump the fact that people are now currently renting?
No, we have talked with the township attorney about this both yesterday and today. The township attorney said the specific trumps the general, and in the statement where it says the unit shall be used for transient or resort use and or for occupancy by co-owners, et cetera, et cetera, that is specific, whereas the last sentence talks about commercial use or business, that's general. And he said past practice that's gone on there and the specific trumping the non-specific would lend it to be allowed to have short-term rentals or rental or transient uses there.
Okay. What about parking?
We've met the standard. In fact, we're over the standard.
So how many spaces do you have?
Pardon?
How many spaces do you have?
I presented, I believe, it's 66. And the ordinance calls for
one and a half per.
So we need 45.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have any questions?
So you have 30 apartments, or what do we call them, the condominiums?
Condos.
And all of the people are on board with this?
Yes. In fact, it was in order to change our bylaws, which was done a month ago, we had to have a vote of the people.
And it was unanimous?
And it was unanimous, but it was two-thirds majority.
Anyone else? Any other comments other than questions?
Hey, just one more. Mm-hmm. How many people are planning on being there permanently?
Well, I can say right now four.
Okay, four out of the 30.
Four out of 30, right. As I'm talking to you right now, I know of four commitments that are people anticipating.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm.
I have a question or a comment. I'm not even sure which one it is. Back to Paul's question about the school-aged children. There's nothing in your deed or condo docs or anything else that restricts the purchase of the property to those over a certain age. It's just that's what's happened, correct?
That is correct. And I believe the point was well taken because of the price break on them. That's is what's happened.
Okay, so there is a potential that in the future that there would be requirement for a school bus to mm-hmm. stop out front on the parkway.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay.
It seems like right now the kids down further in apartments to get on US 31.
Right.
They already do it.
Right. I'm just saying that there is the potential still exists that they could happen. It's not that.
Yeah, starter castle instead of starter home.
Yeah, starter castle. You know, somebody's moving up here and hasn't built their house yet, and, you know, it's a stopgap kind of thing. Okay. That's all.
Okay.
So one of the recommendations from the staff is the access to the east should be adjusted to avoid conflicts. Is that what this picture is?
That was, we didn't make a recommendation.
Mm-mm. Am I looking at the wrong?
Oh, you're looking at the
previous
one.
Oh, I'm looking at the previous one.
Back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is this? Why do I have this?
He just provided that to show parking.
Oh, okay. Oh.
They required me to show my spot.
Okay. All right. I'm good then.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Yes, sir.
One last thing. The property next door that was supposedly to be phase two, there was a comment made that it probably will not be done because of the
economic reasons.
I beg your pardon?
Economic reasons.
And I believe there was also a time, if I'm not mistaken, remind me if I'm wrong here, Leslie, there was a timeline that that had to be started by, mm-hmm. and it didn't meet that timeline.
When we went through receivership, the receiver sold development rights, not the property, but sold development rights to one of our owners. Mm-hmm. And they were to develop, and they had within 5 years to do it. They did not do it within 5 years, and the developer died, and his wife took over the business. The association granted them an additional 2-year extension to get it done. That extension expired in 2017. So there is no, the development rights of that are no longer in existence. And it makes it economically unfeasible to start there because part of our law say it has to be put in the same quality of construction as the original. And the original is such high construction, nobody can economically build that without making other changes.
I'm seeing a gentleman behind you. No, it's not. I closed it. Yeah, why don't you come up and give us your name and your address, please? And
hi, my name is Dave Rowe, Allward Fisher, Rice Rowe and Graff, 202 East State Street, Suite 100. We're currently in a lawsuit with the township about Phase 2. The rights have not been decided. That's up to Judge Elsenheimer to decide, including the number of parking spots. That building still legally exists. There's a question of whether we have the right to build it. Those units are there in legally, but not physically. So the statements are not correct. I also have a question of whether this SUP is even appropriate. A special use permit is allowed for, was it multiple dwelling, which is defined as less than 12 units.
Well, I'm gonna stop you there because we had public comment, okay. And I closed it. But you were giving us, I think I was asking you for information that you were in disagreement with him, and so that was information that may help us. But
just out of clarification, the ordinance was revised a year or so ago, and you're allowed to have more than 12 units in a multiple family. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? I would entertain, if there's no comments, I'd entertain a motion for someone one way or the other on this proposal.
I'll make the motion to
Thank you.
Approve special land use number 1-19.
What is that, John?
John, yep. Is there support for that motion? Hearing no one else, I will support the motion. So it's been moved by Commissioner Syke with support by Commissioner Tubbs to approve special land use 1-19. Any further discussion?
I just have a...
Go ahead.
A quick question then. Going on his input there. So if they build the other one, is it part of this one? Does the documents, you know, and the rules follow? Or is that a separate entity?
Well, I guess the question would be, does the special land, if we approve this special land use, would it apply to the building that's not yet constructed, that may or may not be constructed?
That's a legal question, and I don't know the answer to that right off the top of my head.
What kind of ramification could it have on it? I really can't see where there's a problem for people to live there. You know,
I agree with you, except for the fact that is there a parking problem now?
Oh, is what he's saying part of those parking spaces go to his building?
Yeah,
they're on the other property.
not that we don't have a few parking problems around town.
Too much parking.
I mean, if you're one and a half, and if there are a lot of senior citizens, they probably have a lot of single cars. Usually parking works out. Park at the neighbors.
Well, would I be correct that if, in fact, that gets resolved and a proposal comes to us, there'd have to be a site plan review for any construction, or has that already been approved?
I believe that's correct.
It has to come back.
Yeah, it has to come back.
And one of the issues is going to be parking spaces. At that time, it'll have to get resolved in some way, or shape, or form.
That is true.
But
I had a thought, but I'm not going to say it. Yeah.
How many parking spaces are on the actual property? Not the side lot, the actual property.
They're not defined. It's not defined as two different parcels, is it? It's just one.
I believe it's one parcel.
With two buildings. So to ask that question, the answer is 66. But the second building is not physically there yet.
Right.
And as
I...
This
was the second building. It was less than 30.
I thought it was 20.
25. Go back to my other statement. I don't see where people living there and people renting there, what difference that really makes as far as parking or...
I would concur.
Yeah. So...
Any further questions, discussion? Without hearing any more, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries. Thank you. The next matter on the agenda is a sketch plan review for 200 East Hammond Road, and Mr. Mansfield is here and setting up the easel.
Again, for your time tonight, Doug Mansfield, Mansfield Land Consultants, 830 Cottage View Drive, Suite 201, Traverse City, Michigan. Here tonight with me is Joe Lucricchio, who's been part of this piece of property for the last year or so. This proposal concentrates on the 27 gross acres located at the northwest corner of town, or southeast corner of town line and Hammond, northwest corner of kind of what we know as Elmbrook principal property. It's the old farm. Previously zoned industrial. I know it's been in front of you guys for about, what, 2 years
I'm
now?
I'm trying to think of how many plans I've looked at for this so,
It's still zoned industrial.
Yeah, zoned industrial, but master plan now is changed to multifamily, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Well, no, it's...
No, it's industrial.
It's medium density residential. Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
4 to 8 dwelling units an acre, I believe. Yeah.
Confusing. But it's a nice piece of property, good location, and we have, my clients have high interest in it. What we're proposing to move into is a different style of rental than you've seen before. Joe has been working with several large firms, both in the construction, operation, and assessing these type of operations and just what the demographics of the area need. And what they've come up with is a primarily quadplex layout that would be used for rentals. And in such, it's got fairly simple lines to it for maintenance reasons and utility reasons, efficiencies, and these kind of things. And what we're talking about doing is moving through, because of some of the concerns, both the Planning Commission and the neighbors and the different agencies, is moving through a conditional rezoning. So... kind of taking the guesswork out of the rezoning of what is the plan going to be. So we are working on a plan, and I will see even as of today, the plan's probably going to change a little bit because some demographics came back and said that appreciably we need some one bedroom. So actually we may be looking at a different building type probably down in this area here. Again, working with the neighbors here and their concerns about what they were going to see across the road. The impact of the character of the landscape as you enter East Bay Township, that was another concern brought up by the Planning Commission. And this is a much softer and, we think, much more appropriate and residential-scale development for this area. We still have to take in context all the agency reviews. But there, frankly, there's been some discussion there, too, that came out, like the traffic study. You know, we were well into the other model, and it came out that, you know what, Costco was supposed to install the light already at Town Line in Hammond, and that slipped through the cracks. So we've had discussions with the city and with whose Costco runs in, but, of course, it's bordered by county roads everywhere. And how did that slip through the cracks, and where is it going to be today, and how does it impact that? So, like I said, we're taking in those kind of agency questions and dealing with them now. But we wanted to get in front of you and talk about this concept before we get everybody excited. And, again, if we need to meet with the neighbors, we will. But appreciably, I've sat in their living rooms now. I've taken in, you know, their concerns, and this is kind of a lot more comfortable for them than what we were talking about in terms of commercial that was brought up by the Planning Commission, and lights and nuisance issues and things like that. So we just wanted to come here tonight. We realize this is a sketch plan review, and, you know, I can seek nothing more than to walk out here without being covered in rotten vegetables, you know. But we've tried to work with you through this entire process, and we're still trying to facilitate more development. So before we meet with these other agencies and things start to get out on the street, we wanted to, out of respect to you guys, we wanted to come here and show you kind of what we're up to. So, and take any comments that you may have from it. Joe?
Just these primarily, the vast...
It's just because we videotape the meetings. And
Joe Lucricchio, JLG Properties. You need my address. My local address is 316 Birchwood Ave, Traverse City, 49686. This primarily is all two-story product. It all has garages with it, which we, you know is unique to the market. It'll be a blend of two and one-car garages. Where Doug was talking about things changing would be along here, where, and really it's driven by market data and what the market needs. And these are going to be a little bit higher priced. The bulk rate per month, you know, is going to be higher priced than, say, the one bedrooms that we're going to do. We want to do a three-story configuration along this eastern border is what we're thinking, against the golf course. So the topo is conducive to it, and it's away from Town Line Road and the neighbors over here. But that gives us the opportunity to blend one-bedroom units in here, and there's a big demand for one-bedroom units in the marketplace. And it's a segment of the market that we don't want to miss. And every market study that we've done on our own and what we see through, you know, the professionals that have done for Grand Traverse County is there needs to be, you know, a fair amount of one-bedroom product. And, again, we want to have a bulk rate in rent that's a little bit lower than what these are going to be. We provided a very nice clubhouse entry, you know, landscape area in here. We want it to be, you know, eye-appealing as you're coming in Hammond Road. A good road network, you know, meandering allows us some opportunity with landscaping and whatnot. Second entrance off a Town Line here for fire. And just like Doug said, overall, I think a much friendlier, gentler approach to the property, no commercial whatsoever. And so, anyway, basically, yeah.
What would the density be under which you've got, at least whichever you have?
So what we're talking about today is taking the conditional rezoning would take us 216 units on 27 acres. So that's the ultimate we could ever have. When we come back with conditional rezoning, you'll see the plans that either achieve that or fall slightly under for some reason. But that's probably where we're headed.
This is 170,
right,
correct?
That's what we're saying. When they, as of today, we're told that it was a different product and it would be advisable. We got to make that work physically and fire department wise and all those kind of things.
But yeah, we don't know what the net number's going to end up being with the elimination of the two story long here going to a three story product. How much more is it going to be? We don't know if it's going to be at the 216. And when we come back before you, it'll be a defined site plan
And the number may be 200, maybe 204, might be 198, whatever. But we're certainly not...
Isn't that over the allowed?
I think with your MDR, 216 is what would be allowed.
Using what number?
Well, the master plan, that's what is allowed. I wouldn't say the current, well, obviously industrial zoning doesn't...
Right, but if we conditional rezone...
How many acres is it?
To what zoning?
27.
27 gross acres.
It would be 8 per acre.
HDR.
So they would do it the equivalent of HDR.
Right. Conditional rezoning, correct me if I'm wrong, runs with the site plan.
Right. Yep. Okay, it ties it to the site plan.
You got ag over here and you got low density here. This is industrial to go with here. You're going to, it doesn't transition.
And it's in our growth boundary. We have to pick our, we have to get our, we have, our number of units is lower in our growth boundary than any other place in the township. We need to do something about that.
I'm just curious, like, how would that be less appealing? How would what you see here and filling a need in a housing void, how would that be less appealing than an industrial zone property that somebody could come in and build, whether it's storage units or whatever else? I just, you know.
Well, we talked about it, and frankly, you've got what's this need. And I'm not speaking for Traverse City or the East Beach Traverse City, but the way their master plan looks, it looks more at impacts and the ability to how those impacts affect neighborhoods. When we talk about a 24-hour stamping plant, it could go here under the East by right, and you've got a manufacturing plant right down here that kind of does that, and they've been up to three shifts before. Is that more conducive than to that? Those six or eight houses along that road, and people that go to sleep at the same time of day and make the same, you know, food and noises generally that these people do. As I see it, they're driving similar vehicles on a day-to-day basis rather than semis and loading trucks. Is that more conducive to the area? If it's about density, I can tell you you won't notice. You need to really talk about. Is there what the difference would be between four and because if you want this to be a subdivision, like Cherry Ridge is, please tell us now because that's it will never be that, at least by our design. So that's three units per acre is what you would consider. That's when I look at a subdivision with sewer and water, it's three units per acre. You know, what we're going to get out of that 10,000 square feet per lot, add the road in, some open space. You're
going to
get 3 units out of
that either. I'm not necessarily opposed to what you're proposing. And again, I think housing is an issue and has been for quite a while. I'm looking at anticipating that we're going to have a public hearing at some point in time. And I'm anticipating we're going to have some neighbors. And if I recall from the last time, I think that the thing is not necessarily an industrial use, which I kind of sort of thought along your way of thinking, but I think the neighbors sort of, I think what I'm recalling is they sort of thought about it, what's the traffic going to be, how many people are going to be coming in and out of Town Line Road, and if there's a factory there, that may be a lot less than having 216 units going in and out of my road.
The flavor would be when Joe was working on this concept downstate where he was working with another team. You know, I said they're going to want us to look at using Town Line's entrance, and that's, you know, a discussion point. What I told them was, anywhere you do, you want to keep the primary entrance immediate to the primary road, so it doesn't go a length down Town Line Road then turn in. Then I also told them you're going to need, for emergency services, you're going to have another entrance on the Town Line Road, because that's in the ordinance. However, we can, you know, make that, minimize that entrance.
Yeah. Well, the way I see you've configured the roads,
yeah.
I mean, if I'm, depending on where I'm living in here,
right.
The only people I think that are going to come in off of Town Line Road are going to be the people in the southwest corner of the parcel, because everybody else, because you don't want to come in, go all the way down, and you got to loop back up and around, so you're going to come in off of Hammond Road.
Right. So, yeah, right here.
The way you've got the road set up, most traffic is going to come in off of Hammond, I would think. Rick?
Well, I had a question. Doug? Mm-hmm. My recollection from previous discussions is there's some good views at the higher end of this property as you approach about where the pretty house is.
It's not as good as the crest of Elmbrose Ridge.
Well, I
know.
Right.
Has there been any thought of having more units facing southward?
Well, that's
northward. I'm sorry, northward.
The other buildings is in the back and along
back here.
Ridge line.
Because I'm just thinking, you only have really two buildings facing northward.
Right.
And it would seem to me there would want to be more that would look towards the bay.
It gets into how do we have to grade these things, really, and that's why the roads kind of parallel the ridge heading towards Hammond.
Okay.
Stormwater and making that efficient. And there's a lot of other stuff that flows better downhill than across the hill.
This entrance, by the way, is designed as a double boulevard on both sides. And I've done that with other projects for fire, where you can pass two trucks on each side of the boulevard, made it wide enough. And so you've dealt with that before. If this could go away, Doug didn't feel at all that we had a chance of this going away.
Right.
If it could,
right.
We don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think it's
but if they're, to be there. Yeah. If they're putting a stoplight on Town Line in Hammond.
That's still for discussion. They're still, as much time as they're spending constructing things, they haven't been able to spend the time going back and saying, how did this slip through the cracks?
Well, we were told they weren't doing it right away.
Right.
We were told it was within 5 to 10 years.
Right.
But anyway, if there was a stoplight there, wouldn't you rather come out at the stoplight?
We would have to seriously.
Especially turning left.
I would think a lot of people would consider that an easier route.
Yeah.
Only a little bit. And that's why we do that stub road to the northeast, northwest part of the site, too. So we could work that in.
It would also depend if you're going left or right out of there.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And then and we have a little bit of problem with Verndale, which isn't nearly as big. The other thing is, where the heck is 200 kids going to play?
Good point.
The golf course? I don't know if they like that idea.
No.
You mean parks?
Yeah, I mean, where are they going to play? You got 200 kids and crammed into 20 acres.
That's going to come out of the demographic study. What kind of amenities we need? Top lots, tennis courts, those kinds of things. And before the operators, who are also the investors, are going to come on, they will say that to the developer, this is what you need.
Yeah, I would. I think that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, if you were in an area of a neighborhood, you have.
I would think when you come,
basically building.
Well, we haven't heard from everybody yet. I think you're getting some mixed feelings, but if you get generally a positive, I would think though when you come back with a plan that's something you got to think about and consider.
And we have the green area you see there is 57% of this space of this site. So we have room to integrate some parks in there. We can do it.
We're still looking at connectivity for all those kind of things. So.
Anyway, I think you've heard from three of us. How about Paul and Judy and John? Any thoughts, one way or the other?
What is your target market here?
What is the target market?
Yeah, are you looking for age-wise? You're looking for...
I'm sorry, looking for what?
Age. For single folks, families?
We're going to have a lower predominance of young working people with the amount of, those one bedrooms that we're putting in. I mean, quite frankly, there's going to be a fair amount of people that are looking for that are perhaps a little bit older because these are, two-bedroom, potential three-bedroom townhome apartments. They have two-car garage and one-car garage. I mean, it lends itself really to a little bit older demographic, but we, because of the void in the market that we're talking about with the one-bedrooms, there'll be, some of the working professional, young working professional, but predominantly we think it's going to be a little bit older customer.
You've alluded to the price breaks. What are you thinking about dollar-wise?
Well, that's why, we're looking at that other product because we want to keep our bulk rate at $1,100 to $1,200 a month there. These units you're going to be looking at probably closer to $1,500 a month.
The biggest problem we have is the younger mm-hmm. group. Mm-hmm. And we keep talking about these areas where we're putting in retirees and and we're not seemingly going after the younger group.
Well,
and that's just a comment. There's
sure.
nothing to do, you know, about that. But.
Sure. And we can certainly integrate more.
It's funny. The younger group is out there, and I met with some builders the other day. We're trying to still understand what they want. They want, you just can't pin them down. It seems like I have two nephews that are happy to go out in Colorado in their 20s, college kid. They're happy to live out of their cars in campground while they wait for the ski resorts to ramp them back up. And their parents are going, you know, I can't keep them home. It's just crazy what these kids want to experience, I guess. You know, and are looking for. We're still trying to nail down a floor plan question or open deck issue. What are they looking for? It's weird. So, but they will go, you know, where they need to go. And truthfully, something like this, I think you're really speaking anywhere from the single mom to your just entered retirement.
Right. Exactly.
You know. So.
Well, ideally speaking. How long would it take you, and is there a phase-in on this?
Right now, what we have laid out is basically 60, 60, and 60. 60, 60, and 50 was, you know, based on this plan. Stabilization-wise, probably, you know, a three-year period, three to four-year total with phasing. Again, that's going to depend on, the brevity of the market. But we, right now, first phase, conceptually, we had a break like this, and second phase coming, here, building this out last. I mean, but that's, and again, it's driven by the market, but we just laid it out that way. Our plan was to come in and do all the infrastructure, put the sewer throughout, put the roads throughout, but just as, as far as our building goes, we're going, to here. Initially, however many, what I think it ends up being 59 or 60 units the way it lays out. So we won't come in, do two or three, stages with equipment and everything else. We're going to put the roads in, we're going to do our grading, we're going to put the utilities in. And so it's we're going to limit the construction time and then let the market drive it.
I don't have any questions at this point.
I don't really have any questions. I guess I'm pretty comfortable with what I see. I guess I do have still kind of struggling a little bit with its location, just because it's for what it's zoned and planned for is industrial, and it's just kind of an odd spot for it in some respects in terms of what is kind of planned around that particular area. But that's kind of our issue more than the applicants in some ways, because I don't know why the industrial zone is on that side of the road.
And I don't know why the conservation zone is on the other side of the township line either, and it's funny because if you think back, there was the Hannon Road corridor study, there was all these studies that tried to integrate what was going to happen, but for whatever reason, Garfield Township, biggest primary conservation area is there in East Bays, kind of their heaviest use, industrial and multifamily and stuff, is on that across the street. So, but it is.
Well, and I guess when I do, I mean, like I said, I think that's kind of our issue to work through. But when I look at providing these types of uses, and I know this type of use is kind of unique for East Bay Township.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a lot of apartments in the township. So when I look at our zoning map and our land use map, trying to figure out a location where it goes, there's not really ideal locations. But this one could potentially be a good location for it, mainly because of it's Hammond Road. At some point, we probably expect to see some type of a traffic signal at Hammond and Town Line. So if we are going to accommodate it when I look pull back and look at the township, it does make sense from that standpoint, even though it might be a little bit in isolation. So, just my thoughts.
Okay. Anybody else have any comments?
Aesthetically, I don't see how you can make it look good.
You don't see what?
How you can make it look good. The gateway to the East Bay Township.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry.
I think you could have better looking industrial buildings than that. I think there's better places for that. Klaus has 1 million acres down there just waiting to be developed. It's just such a piece of property that's up right in your face, you know. Well, it reminds me of what Klaus did over on Holiday Hills, where he went in and because he didn't want to have to deal with it, he cut every tree out and then he built his apartments in there. Mm-hmm. And how awful that looked. Now it's not so bad. Some trees came back, but he's back down in there. You know, this is right up on the top of the hill. I don't know.
That's a great comment to take into mm-hmm. context with what our charge is as designers and planners and these kind of things. And truthfully, last time you made the comment about, you know, having what I think could be very strong prominent buildings along the Hanley Corridor. I'm a little worried about that. And I said, give me a chance. But that's my job. You give me a challenge, and that's, I got to come back and satisfy it. So I appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's hard to look at anything and say,
yeah, especially that.
Been there that long and say that it's not going
to
be a change.
That's ugly to me. But I mean, you're right. I mean, they build apartments on Lafreniere Road,
uh-huh.
and you know they don't look too bad. I mean, but the thing with this piece is that it goes up, so it's just going to be monstrous. Whereas if you go by and you see some apartments, you know,
you can only see the first.
You see the first row, and then you don't see all the ones behind it. So, I mean, it's just, and I really am not a designer. I don't know how you design around that.
Yeah. Well, honestly, when I still remember the rows of maple trees that were all in the road of this area.
Yeah.
You know, and that's generally that's what I envision that corridor to be in when I look at this right now.
Yeah, but even if you had a 50-foot maple tree there, you'd still see.
You know what? It'd be amazing.
Yeah, you'd have to have rows of them.
It'd be amazing to see how much something like that locks in perspective. Maybe we need to exhibit that to you.
Possibly. Yeah. And then the other thing is, what I mentioned earlier is it's like an isolated, where you know if I lived nearby, I would be worried about where are all them kids going to be, mm-hmm. if there's kids. I mean, maybe it won't be kids. I don't know. I don't know what the housing market is, or I know I wouldn't live in an apartment right now. Maybe when I'm 80, I might, but at this point, I have no interest.
If we can get away from doing this,
yeah.
You know, then we'll have something for you.
When they're doing that, they're not getting in trouble.
Right. So,
but, you know, like you said, he could put some parks and stuff like there, some playground equipment, or, you know, I know there's a lot of things you can do, but my biggest two concerns is we don't have enough industrial in East Bay Township. There's not enough, you know, local jobs.
A lot of vacant lots.
Well, but maybe they need a bigger piece. I don't know. We have a lot of vacant land for housing, too. And then the other thing is where are all the kids going to be?
Right, yeah. Okay. Well stated.
Not where they're still in water. Yeah,
so it sounds like you've won Leslie over.
No.
No, but I mean, she makes a really valid point. You have to have any kind of density whatsoever. It's worth it. You've got to have sewer and water.
What do you think he's going to do? Sit there at
the table. Any other comments? Otherwise, thank you, and we'll probably see you in the future.
Thanks so much. So
thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is discussion regarding Lakes Overlay District with the tree escrow.
Yeah, staff has been contemplating this off and on, and we did a little bit of research and also tried to figure out if there was a way to come up with language. But the biggest concern that we have with this, you know, we have an escrow that if somebody violates the ordinance, they have to pay a fine per tree and replace the trees. But nowhere in our ordinance or in our fee schedule or anything is there a preemptive fine in case somebody does something. And neither one of us is comfortable with adding something into the ordinance saying, we are going to assume ahead of time that you're guilty or going to do something wrong. Give us $1,000 or $10,000 or $5,000, whatever it is. All the escrows we get currently are to cover costs of the attorney or the the engineer or something like that doing review. None of them are preemptive.
I.e., we want money in the bank
just in case,
case you do something wrong.
Right. And so we're kind of uncomfortable with that. Now, the Planning Commission directs us that we have to write something to that effect. Okay, we'll try to put something. At one point I tried to type out something, and I was struggling with it because it's, like I said, it's kind of assuming guilt. I don't know if that's the best way to go. I mean, there are probably communities that have done that do that.
So here's a question for you. Do you think from a psychological standpoint, whatever it might be, that if I, so the idea here is that if I'm going to develop this property, do something, I'm going to put an extra couple thousand dollars, whatever it is, and do an escrow in case I cut down trees that should not be cut down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I'm looking at my overall cost of the project, and I add in this $2,000, and maybe I'll get back because I won't cut any trees down. Or I've just kind of psychologically, I've already spent the money, so why don't I just sort of cut the trees down?
Well, there's that risk.
As opposed to, okay, I've been told in some way that if I cut these trees down while I'm in the process of this, I'm going to have to pay them a couple $1,000 or again, whatever that amount is. I better try to avoid cutting those trees down. In other words, because once the money out of your hands, it's easier just to say, I kind of lost it, and I'm going to have to pay it over, so I'm more prone to cut them down. And I don't know.
That's a train of thought I hadn't thought about. I guess it would partially depend on the value of the project in relationship to the escrow. I mean, if you're doing a small, let's say, $100,000 home, or you're doing a $500,000 home, it might depend partially on that, because obviously $2,000 or $5,000 is a different percentage of that overall cost. And one would hope that people don't think like that, that you're in what you described, that, you know, well, they already have the money anyhow, I might as well just obliterate them. Because we have those other penalties of $500 per day, you know, and things like that that might give them caution. I feel like people are awakening to the fact that this is a big deal. We certainly do everything we can to caution them. We just had somebody in the office, was that today or yesterday?
Today.
That Leslie had to make it very, very clear that, you know, we are going to want to see this before you start any work out there.
I'm sorry.
She had to repeat it.
I go out to the sites now. I went out to a site a week and a half ago, and we looked at all the trees, and we measured everything. We measured back from the 50 feet, and we went through. I spent a couple hours there, and we marked trees and everything. I'm starting to do that. So I think people are...
Becoming
more aware.
Yeah, we don't have an enforcement officer.
We would like one.
Right, and I know that there are some neighboring townships that have. The question is that there's been a lot of violations.
Yes, there have.
A lot. So I guess for us to say, you know, people, you know, by taking money, it's going to mitigate it. I don't know the answer, because over the winter there were tons of violations. I think one of the problems is that Leslie and Rick, or Leslie, has to go out and do all this stuff. I think the other thing is that it's really pitting neighbor against neighbor. We have a lot of people that are struggling with...
Yes, we get lots of calls from concerned neighbors. And
it's
usually in the spring when the snow melts and they suddenly see what's been done during the winter or maybe last fall. And, I mean, ones that we have had rectified, you know, we're still getting calls on. And then we're getting the occasional person that comes in with an application, and, well, why can't I? They did this, and they're pointing to ones that were
right.
violations. And they did this, and we try to say, well, that wasn't per the ordinance. That was a violation, and, yeah.
And I think...
Next question, what happened to them for the violation? Well, nothing. Okay, never mind.
Well, other than, you know, we tell them there are eyes and ears everywhere, and you are going to hear about it, whether it be from us or from the neighbors. You know, and so if you want to live in, you know... hot water for the rest of your life, I guess you can choose that. But
Judy, would you,
Well, I just think it's... I don't know the answer to it. Let me put it that way, and I really don't. I don't like to do that on my neighbors. I mean, you know, what happens is, you're right, the ice goes off. Some people have come in and done a lot of things. As soon as people start putting their boats in, they drive around and they see all these things, and then... they're not sure if they should call on their neighbors, because that really creates animosity amongst them. I don't know. What I'm saying is, I don't know what the answer is to this continual problem. And a lot of things, you know, that we talked about, you know, like we talked about things being built on the shoreline and sheds, a lot of those are almost in the water now. I mean, I hate to say this, but we got to do some things. I'm concerned, and I have people, friends that live on Silver Lake, so I talked to John today. We're really concerned about wake boats, because they create 3-foot waves. So what does that do now that the lakes are up? And then you got a 3-foot wave coming in. Those things are going to, I mean, we pick up dock pieces every spring, or we pick up pieces of fishing, you know, not shanties, but the fishing huts where they clean the fishes and things like that, because they're so close now to the water. So, and I just really don't know the answer about how to, you know, that we have the caring mentality, and then we have the mentality that I'm just going to do it, and disregard for the safety of other people. I mean, I really hate to see floating things in the lake, because if you Ted, you well know this too. If you hit that with your boat, it's got your prop is gone at water skis, $300-$400 down the drain. You know, and you don't know whose it is. You know, and so I don't have an answer, except maybe an enforcement officer, or and I hate to go that route too.
Leslie would appreciate it.
Okay.
I could spend my entire day on complaints.
Right.
My entire day, and not get anything done. So I am going to ask for an enforcement officer.
If the Planning Commission feels that's an area to consider, they can certainly send a recommendation to the board that they reconsider having an enforcement officer, at least during the summer months or something like that.
Yeah, I used to have one.
Mm-hmm.
It worked really well.
Would you think a part-time would even help? Or what would... Tell us what your thoughts.
Today, Derek Morton, he's a police officer, and he's wanting to do it for Garfield, Acme, and us. So it would be part-time at each one.
Metro Enforcement Service.
I think having a former police officer would be a good idea.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
Would be a good idea to have a former police officer.
Yeah.
Well, so the issue here a little bit is, do we have staff continue to work on a escrow ordinance, or do we look at alternative measures to try to correct the issue, right? I mean, that's what... So one of the alternatives would be an enforcement officer, per se.
Would you be okay with that, Judy, if we just recommend to the board that they go with this enforcement guy?
Yes.
Rather than trying to...
Yeah. I think your point is well taken about, you know, I always hated to, when I worked with students too, you're wrong before you even enter the classroom, or you're wrong before you even move in your dorm room, or whatever you want to say, and I think that's really a valid point, and I don't like that mentality either, and so I think that's probably, you know, Ted and the rest of you, that's probably a really good solution, because then it does take I mean, someone still has to report it because the enforcement officer can't get around.
He can't be everywhere.
Doesn't he need something to enforce? I mean, it seems that we would still need to have some.
We have that.
We have a $500.
Yeah, it's in there now, but I mean.
And we have the 50-foot, and we have.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all it takes.
The rules are there.
All the rules are there. Yeah.
Plane so that you can go take a peek.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt. I mean, being on our Lake Association, people tend to copy me in every time they go with Leslie because we did have those educational seminars, and I did go. And I just want to just crawl in the back. But, you know, I think it's really necessary to be there and do that. But she's dealing with a lot of complaints. I mean, I'm talking there probably was a good page and a half.
Well, I guess there's, I mean, and we haven't polled everybody here yet as to what the thoughts are. But if you went with, if you made a recommendation to the township board and they said, hey, thanks for the recommendation. This is what it costs. We don't have the money. We're not going to do it, right? That's one option that they could come back at. Then we're back to square one. Mm-hmm. So if there, to my way of thinking, if there's thoughts to try that first, maybe we try that first. And if the township board says no, then we kind of revisit the idea. Do we, you know, do something with an escrow or do we not do something with escrow? I mean, that's one way of, you know, approaching
this. I hope they would entertain it. I mean, we're busier now than we were before, and I had someone before, which they took away.
And so with the enforcement officer, then we've got, we'd have someone that has the time to go out and look at what's being done and then to basically impose the fines that are there in the ordinance and to follow up with it. And then once that happens a few times and people get the word that the township is serious about it and they don't want to get into that kind of an issue.
Just the idea of having an enforcement officer kind of puts out the word that the township's getting serious, too.
So is there thought to have staff draft something for us to make a recommendation at a future meeting? I presume that's how that would be done, to the township board on that? That we see this as an issue? Staff has raised this as an issue. We see it as an issue.
Well, the other option, and I don't want to put the onus on Commissioner Walters, but maybe the Planning Commission ask Commissioner Walters to raise the issue with the board and see what interest there is.
That could be done too.
But I'd be glad to put a
memo. So what's the as I just go down, what's the
I would say enforcement officer, and the only reason I say that too is because I think I've seen the number of escalating serious, not just, you know, something minor. I'm seeing serious things where people are really, really damaging properties, and it's affecting a lot of people. And then I also kind of can see when the sheriff comes on the lake to monitor boat traffic and hours and things like that, and if he writes tickets, that word gets around very quickly. If he or she does not write the tickets, then that gets around too. So I think an enforcement officer might be a viable solution.
John?
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense to have an enforcement officer. I mean, if we have zoning laws and other types of ordinances in place, I think it's an important thing to have. I think it should be important to give the rationale, though, and the reasoning why that would be recommended, and to explain that the other options were evaluated and there's challenges with that. So I think there has to be some kind of argument to why there would need to be some a code enforcement officer. I mean, obviously there was history of having one in place before, so there's precedent there, but all those things I think need to be lined out in terms of the rationale. But I think it makes good sense for this issue and other issues that the township's facing. I mean, it's having a code enforcement officer doesn't necessarily resolve anything, but it does at least advance what you have on the books. And how it's applied is also depends on really the kind of the policy of the community. In other words, to what level you do push the enforcement. Some can come down pretty hard. Some can kind of, you know, be more diplomatic in it. So there's different ways to approach it, but you really can't do anything unless you have that officer in place.
Mindy?
Can you guys all go around, and I'll be...
Well, I think, well, what I'm gathering from John's perspective and what his comments were, that maybe it makes sense to have staff do a recommendation with the rationale behind it, the different approaches and the rationale, rather than having you having to sort of go through all that. It might be easier to kind of lay it all out.
That's what I got.
That's how I interpreted your comments. So, so with that, Mindy, I'm not asking you necessarily. And I can still pass by if you want to wait and come back. Okay, Paul?
You know, many conversations I've had with people, and when I point out something and I say, why is that? You know, why are they here? Why are they, you know, parking their boat where it's not supposed to be? And the person still always tells me, well, we have the rules, but they don't enforce them. And I think that's probably where we need to go. If we have rules, no matter what they are, we need to have them enforced. I would like to see an enforcement officer. I don't know. You know, as soon as you start talking money, people get really a little crazy about stuff. But I'd like to see that. But I also would still like to continue on Plan B. You know, not just to freeze it, just to keep working with it, maybe put it back a bit, but nonetheless keep working on this thing, because I think, you know, if we don't stop it now, it's just going to get worse.
Chet?
Yeah, I concur with the enforcement officer, and I also think that we need to push the education as much as we can, keep pushing that. You know, maybe you can get into the grade schools and the lakes areas and stuff, and so the kids will bring home to their parents and teach them.
Well, I presume if there was an enforcement officer, this is not the only issue that gets attention.
Oh, no, absolutely.
So I think in looking at the rationale to the township board, you know, I think I would include other things in there, obviously, that you guys are aware of that you get complaints all the time on. But, you know, it goes beyond this tree issue. So... I'm back to you, Mindy.
So switching hats and going from the township board perspective, you know, we set our budgets every year in January. And, of course, you know, the worst time of the year is spring through summer and fall. So we're going to potentially lose another however many trees, you know, and we're going to have more Petoskey stone stands and... You know, all these other things that are not permitted happening between now and then. So I think a combination of two things need to happen. I think that staff need to go to write this memo that says, you know, this is why we need it, and we need it now and not next year. And we'd love to have been able to, you know, tell you it ahead of time, but, you know, we've been talking about enforcement officer for years, and this is really the time that we need to go back to one and bring the memo to the township supervisor. And the township supervisor is able to look at the budget and see if there's areas where we might be able to fund it this year instead of last year to bring it to the township board for approval. And I think Leslie and Rick need to really say this is what I need to do my job correctly, is that I need this, or else, you know, I can't work on X, Y, and Z because I'm working on complaints that could really be somebody else's position, you know, and that we have an opportunity for a former officer to come in and work part-time with other townships so that we as a region are doing this together. And then on my end of things, I can bring it to the township board as well as the planning commission, is talking about this and would really like to help our staff to make sure that our township ordinances that are put in place for a reason and that we've all agreed on are actually those that are So I think it's a twofold conversation. I think it needs to start with staff, with the township supervisor, and then I will introduce it next week at the township board level. But this is something that we've been talking about, and that staff will be going to the township supervisor with some specifics and a potential enforcement officer.
Well, do you think that it's simply staff going to the supervisor saying, we've had some discussions, it started out with talking about an escrow account and the issues and the problems with that and what it presents, and then but trying to resolve this continuing problem that seems to be escalating. And so they've had some discussions, so we're coming to you to have this to begin this conversation to see whether or not we can pull this out of the budget. Or we basically have a resolution from the Planning Commission that says to the Township Board, we as a Planning Commission think these are some actions that you ought to take. And I don't know which is
better. That's going to delay it a month. Mindy's.
But it would, yeah. Mindy's would be like, let's get it going now, right?
Well, she makes a good point. You know, you'd be mid-July before the board ever got to it, and mm-hmm. when you're halfway through summer.
Mm-hmm. And you have to consider Rick is leaving. I'm going to be by myself for a while.
Right.
So I'm going to be doing a lot of juggling.
So do you think, is it your thought that from this meeting they should begin to go right to the supervisor?
That is my thought, yes.
Okay. And then if there's an issue there, maybe come back.
And if they need our support, you know.
Okay.
I don't think that Beth has any qualms of calling any of us with a question. So, you know, and if she thinks that she needs it for the board, you know, she can ask for it then. But I really think that if the staff present it to Beth as we need this to do our job, we have this option. And it's not just the trees. It's the this. It's the that. It's the, you know, whatever the list is.
I would make the list as
long and exhaustive as you can.
Now you're making stuff up, but don't leave anything out.
And I would also, if you want to keep even a log of complaints, I mean, we have a letter that has six or seven right then. I mean, you probably have that a day. Oh, okay. All right. So there is an awareness there of how many you get.
But also the fact that we do have in our ordinance that if you break this ordinance, you're going to get fined X. So if we do start to enforce the ordinances, it could pay for the partial...
Well, to some extent, at least until maybe...
Right, until it's no longer
until
a problem, you know.
Yeah.
Just like the new fireworks ordinance, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but the state law passed in it that if the CPO goes and catches you with fireworks being shot off on one of the days that it's not allowed, at a time that it's not allowed, the fine, half of that fine goes to the police. So it's like that incentive for them to actually go out and respond to these cases. And I think that's such a great idea for these things that mm-hmm. I know that they were going off the other day and my kids couldn't sleep and they were both sick and it was just, you know, driving me absolutely nuts. And I'm looking at my clock going, okay, they got till 11 o'clock, you know, and it's still going off at 11:15 and my kids are like, what? And I'm like, I don't know, can't help you.
So any thoughts contrary to that approach?
We got our
marching orders or whatever?
Marching orders, yeah.
Okay. I think the next item on the agenda is public comment for anything that was on the agenda. And unless there's somebody behind the lectern that I can't see, I don't know if there's anyone here to make any public comment. So we'll close that. Our next regularly scheduled meeting will be on July 2nd at 6:30. And we are hereby adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.